Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are Ace Up Science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about love languages. Are they utter BS? Or does understanding your love language and your partner's help to strengthen your relationship? But first, we're going to be talking about burnout and some of the science behind it, as well as some really fascinating new research into rats. Whew.
You said utter, and I thought you were going to be like, is it a turd? And I was like, what utter? Language are you
utter?
Using?
Is that what I was trying to say?
Yeah, you were like, is it utter?
Wait, like, when did I say it?
You just said utter, like, not BS, but you were trying to like.
I did say utter BS.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, I know. I just couldn't get over the fact that I thought you said a turd. And I was like, his love language is a turd. And I was just like, what do I do with that? Like, that's insane. I've never heard you say that. So how do I just act normal? But utter, I've heard you say.
U-T-T-E-R.
Yeah. And you're why are you groggy? Are we being honest on
pod? I hadn't had an edible in a while, and I'm so burnt out from like having way more than I should have.
Yeah, because there was the month where, you know, Mitch would hop on here and be, you know,
and
there
like I made a whole video being like, I took a month off weed, and it ended up being almost 2 months.
Yeah,
that's because then we were traveling and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. You were on your high horse.
My hiatus.
Your hiatus, high horse, and you would come on here and be like,
I wasn't on a high horse.
I don't know. I'm just so clear. I'm just so, oh my God, everything I can see in such crystal clear colors because I don't eat weed. And then today,
everything's gray and confusing and foggy. I just did an amount that I thought would normally be fine, and it like brought me to a level that was way too much. And like, I still had fun, but now I'm like, I actually cannot think. When Greg was about to push record, and I was like, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, and then that's why I was
just
like,
gone over it.
And that's why I was like, and he's going to say things like a turd, but it was utter.
Speaking of turds.
No, ew,
what? A good segue. No.
How are you going to get back from that? That's insane.
I saw a kid dressed as a turd for Halloween.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
No, we were going to talk about the seasons because Greg really loves Halloween, apparently.
I do love Halloween. I this year I just, you know, accepted that it's my favorite holiday. There's no sort of problematic Thanksgiving, colonial, Christian with Christmas energy. It's just spooky, spooky.
I feel
it's
is
queer.
Out of a religious like tradition, though, isn't it?
Girl, look it up.
Isn't there like the...
Well, is it what? The devil? Like, I'm just like, it's not
no,
giving.
No, I feel like
savior.
There's a knight that like, there's a saint that it's like after.
Oh,
like,
for God's sake, the Catholic religion is so pervasive. Anyways.
And like, but lots of places don't celebrate it, even like Western, but I feel like Ireland is like where it's from.
No, are you thinking of like the like Guy Fawkes thing in Europe?
Oh, it's ancient Celtic. a pagan religious celebration to welcome the harvest at the end of the summer when people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off ghosts.
Yeah, that's so much more, like, that doesn't seem nearly as problematic as a lot of the other ones. Yeah. Easter, you know what I mean? It's all giving Christian, oh, your Christian day off. No day off, which I love. It's a sleigh at night. The kids are so cute. You get candy. It's so fun. It's like communal. And
yeah,
I
there's
got
not
to dress
as much
up.
Pressure. I find there are a lot of pressure around costumes and stuff, but you're right. In terms of like Christmas has like very high stakes and a lot of people
yes.
get stressed.
And then you're like, you're forced to like get together with your family in ways that people I think get really anxious because it's like there's like pressure on the holidays. There's really low pressure. And then there's gay parties. It's so fun.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no gay. I mean, there probably is.
We just
but
don't
it's
know.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like there's like freaky gay parties. Like the gay Christmas party is like, let's put up the ornaments and like be Christian all of a sudden.
Whereas the Halloween one's like, let's be sluts.
Like, let's literally be like a slutty devil with my hole out. Although that's not what it was. I was Wait, problematic Adele, aka Jamaican Adele.
There is a bit of Christian roots. The word Halloween derives from hollow, which in Middle and Old English means saints or holy people. So it's a time to remember the dead, including saints, martyrs, and all of the faithful.
Okay,
departed.
Well, slay. I still think like the best part about religion is when you try to remember the dead. Also, my mom was a slay and would always make my costume. So for me, Halloween is craft. For me, yeah, Halloween is art, fun. Which I love. So I always make, I mean, again, when I was Jamaican Adele, I didn't really do crafts. I guess I did. I made like a I
but
made
even
her
the
Jamaican
idea,
headdress.
Well, even the even if it's not crafts, the idea of putting together an outfit that
yeah,
you can't
you, it's
just
creative.
Buy, like you have to find different pieces and like it wasn't all like here's a package where you get all of Superman's outfit and you're done.
Yeah. Also, it's like if you're wondering about problematic Adele is, it's hilarious. She like decided to after like 2 years not posting on her Instagram. She posted this photo of her in London at like Caravana, but so she's dressed with like Jamaican flag bikini and her face is like
it's almost it's like they the paparazzi
how?
Snuck the photo
but
it's like
she posted it
like it's almost poot level
it's poot
like,
she's giving like she just smelled a turd. It's like her face is disgusted and it's like I have no idea why she posted it on top of the fact that she like had bantu braids and like was
like it,
like
it
maybe
could
did her hair
as,
in a problematic
yeah.
way or in fact she did. It's like there were so many reasons why I was like Adele what the hell. She took it down and then you know it's Adele she was free after
she
that.
Got
she was fine.
It.
She didn't
oh, so
get
she
canceled.
Did take it down. It's not like still on her Instagram.
No, but it's obviously on the internet because everyone was like, this is hilarious. Like she looks, and people got my costume like pretty quickly, even without.
Yeah, it's pretty iconic.
Well, I was surprised, honestly. Like how many people would be like, Adele. Oh. And it's like, I'm just kind of wearing a Jamaican
bikini. Now we're moving into my fave season, the Christmas holidays.
Yeah, which, you're so funny. But it's like, is it your fave season?
No, I know. I always end up hating it. I always feel like I don't get enough time to like soak it up because I think sometimes around now I'm like, it's way too early to celebrate and or get in the mood and to start like thinking of gifts. But I think I just need to commit to
you
that.
You do need to commit.
Because sometimes I do that and then I don't start till December 15th. But then I'm just like, we're trying to wrap up work stuff. And I feel like then I'm like, oh God, it's December 20th. I haven't even thought about Christmas yet.
I think it might have to relate. It might have to relate a bit to potentially when we get into love languages and like psychology. Like
probably.
I feel like for you, it's like you are in the spirit and you have had an amazing December. But no matter what, when December 25th comes, it will never be enough.
And you're always like for me, it's nostalgizing and wanting it to feel the same. As
I know. I'm always
to.
Like, yeah, Mitch, you don't believe in I'm Santa like- anymore. I'm sorry. Like you can't go back to when you thought a literal like superhuman man came down the
no,
chimney
I
like
know.
That's obviously slay.
But there's something so magical about that and that is why I still love Zelda because it still maintains its magic
yeah
for me
Zelda is Christmas years. But it keeps on giving
yeah.
Zelda is the Christmas that keeps on giving
yeah
whereas Christmas no offense
doesn't keep on giving
it doesn't keep on giving
but you know what I am like because we were away physically in a warmer climate all last Christmas season, like starting from
yeah,
November.
But in Colombia, which was Christmas, the boots house down.
Oh, it was
honey.
Amazing!
It was amazing.
It was
like,
still amazing,
and
I
it
just,
was so Christmas-y.
You know, you grow up. I'm excited. I'm not really excited for the snow, but I am excited for like those moments of like
yeah.
cozy nights with friends and just like putting up, like having wine while we put up the Christmas tree or cider or whatever. Like There's something yeah. cute about that. I do like tradition, and it's nice to do special things.
Yeah, yeah. And you just need to be like, that's enough.
That is.
Yeah, because like we've had the cutest Christmas celebrations together and like done such cute things. I'm like, oh, this is so nice. And then you're like, it's not enough. You're like,
no, it's not that. Okay, we're not going any further into this.
We should do an episode on like
Christmas spirit. Or
yeah,
like,
or like why. Definitely going to do this. Yeah, because there's tons of psychology. It's kind of the New Year's stuff, like why it's always a letdown.
Like it sucks for a lot of people. Yeah.
And it is actually, like my therapist said, that her therapy sessions get so intense around Christmas. And then the 2 weeks after Christmas, it's like truly everyone like processing what happened. And it's like, what the fuck?
Well, then you're also into the New Year and there's so much pressure on like the new you that I think it's like a really hard time. And then you're going into winter, where it's like so dark and cold, and like Christmas like holds you off, and New Year's because it's kind of exciting, and then you're just like left with this desolate dark world, at least where we live.
Yeah, and I also think that like it is, we will be moving on to what we're talking about today, but like we definitely have to do an episode about this. It is, there's a lot of pressure. Like when I think about like families getting together for any reason outside of Christmas is such like levity.
Yeah.
But then Christmas, it's like gifts.
Yeah, there's a
it's
lot.
It's food.
And just intermixing of like extended family.
Everyone has to be there.
Intense.
Yeah. And it's like, it just, it's alcohol. It's like,
I feel like we also live in such a like polarized time right now that it's actually scary what people are going to say. When you're together with that many people, you're like, it just takes one person to like say something that's going to make everyone feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. And, for whatever reason, I've never really had Christmas be like a drinking thing, but like people drink.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like
people eat. You eat so much. You
Christmas
drink so
much. Eve. I'm like, I'm not gonna be hungover for Christmas morning, my friends. But so many people, like when I was like in my 20s, and yeah, I'm older than that. I know I sound so youthful, but when I was in my 20s, people would go home and visit their families and then go out Christmas Eve. There was a tradition to go to the bar in our neighborhood and get tanked with all your like high school friends. And I was always like, sacrilege. Like I would honestly, like I would probably like cry if I did that. Cause to me, Christmas Eve is like
being with your family,
like reading the Polar Express
and like, so
and like but it was like, everyone was like, so are you getting coming
smashed
to like the pub? And I was always like, you are pagan. You're giving Halloween. It's Christmas.
Okay, let's move on to, we should make an episode about that, and we're going to move on to our, what'd you learn?
I don't have my iPad, so you have to write it down.
Oh, for the idea.
Write it down.
Okay.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Well, which do you think is more relevant? Mine is about rats. I'll start with that. Halloween rats. No, this was just a really interesting, cool study that kind of blew my mind. And basically, they found out that rats can control things with their minds. Hear me out.
Rats are Matilda.
No. So they're basically like studying like this idea of in humans, how we can like remember different times and places and which part of the brain does that. And the question is like, are other animals able to think of like, to like virtually build out worlds in their mind?
Like squirrels when they hide nuts.
Yeah. Or just like, you can think of other, like you can use your mind to bring yourself to other places. So they literally trained rats on a spherical treadmill and put them in a 3D virtual world. So there's screens all around them.
It's giving the YouTube Vegas show.
Yeah, they like let them run around and they measure their brain waves so they can see like when they're looking in this room, like what kind of stuff's going off, when they're interacting with this thing, what's going off. Then they wanted to see if the rats could imagine their way through the world. And so they were then like trained in this virtual world to, it says, move a virtual cube to a twisty column. And if they could do that, like with their brain, if they could do that, they'd be treated. So they were like taught how to use their mind. Eventually, like they would move around this 3D world without the use of the ball, didn't matter anymore. They had to use their mind to navigate it. And they were able to get the mice to like fire their brains in the way where they would get the treat. So they would like move this 3D object with their brain, because it was how their brain would think about it, and then that would give them the treat, and like that would reinforce their ability to do that. I thought that was kind of crazy.
I feel so bad that after they probably killed them and sliced their brains open and studied them, like what we
no,
do
no, they
to
were
rats.
Studying their brains live. They had like electrodes.
No, but I'm just saying every other rat lab, it's like, again, we still have to make the Pixar movie Lab Rats.
Yes.
About them getting genetically modified and then like becoming like epic, and then they become the main character, and then they're the bad guys are the bad scientists. Done. Yeah.
Ultimately, this is just like to study memory in humans and learn about. A lot of it was in the hippocampus and just like understanding how spatial memory
is. I'm sorry, Rats, but it's never about you.
It's never
it's always about us.
Yeah.
Through you, which is sad. Or no, it's not.
It's both sad and amazing at the same time.
Yeah. The things that we need to just put respect on Rats' names. Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that's what we need. Honestly, yeah. That's so true. No truer words have been said. Put that on a t-shirt. We need to
I will. And I also really like the. We have rats in our backyard and I happen to like them. Every time we have friends over and they see the rat, they scream, scream, scream. And I go, gorgeous creature. And I know I'm just the one there, but I've learned to live with them. They haven't yet attacked our wires or whatever. And everyone overreacts to mice and rats. I'm like, relax. The
it's
plague is over.
Greg.
The plague was a long time ago, my friends. They're just cute mammals.
Greg lacks empathy.
Okay, well.
Except for things that he wants to be empathetic to.
Okay.
This will get to our love languages. Here we go.
This is so...
give us your what you learned.
Yeah, you're going to have to stick around because apparently we're going to break up live on this podcast is potentially what's going to happen. We should have started with that teaser. We could add something in before. I'd be like, just so you know. Stick
we
around to the end because we might break up. Let's actually do that. Okay. What I learned this week was... I guess like just me really looking and like over analyzing something that because I think it relates to me when really it was like not a big part of the study I was reading, but it was about burnout, mm-hmm. which people talk a lot about these days. Mm-hmm. And it is like a newer phenomenon in the sense that it's been like named mm-hmm. in more recent times, but that doesn't mean that it didn't exist before. But they do think it has a lot to do with social media and the internet. Like we have an abundance of information, which could lead to burnout.
Yeah.
And obviously people think about like their jobs or apparently the pandemic was really bad because part of burnout is not having
like disconnecting from your work.
No. Uncertainty. Uncertainty leads to burnout.
Okay.
Which is kind of what I was going to like the uncertainty leads into what I was going to say now, which is that you can have burnout on either ends of the extremes. One end would be, you are like overworked. Maybe your home life is really stressful and you're not feeling you're having the ability to relax. And you can also get burnout when you're not stimulated enough. Hmm. And their example was how school is actually a place for where people, unless you're like, they said, if you're a perfectionist, it can be a big issue. But if you're not a perfectionist, school is like a very healthy state because you go like you're essentially your nervous system gets activated in different ways. So you have like a relaxing time after exams mm-hmm. where you like absorb information. Then you have this crazy stressful time
yeah.
where you use your brain in a different way mm-hmm. and then it ends
yeah,
and you get
sense.
That relax.
Right.
And
yeah.
that is
like it's good to push yourself to limits for short periods of time.
Yes.
It's like what exercise.
Exactly. Where I was like, I feel like I might be in the burnout of the opposite where right. I'm not having enough stress
of
or
those,
stimulation.
Like
we don't have a boss.
Yeah.
We don't have like,
yeah. And it's true. You try to build your life in a way where you avoid those because they
feel
really awful in the moment.
But then think
moment,
about
but
how good it feels after.
Yeah. And,
that
stress
system.
Really can motivate you to
yes.
learn like a lot of
yeah,
new things
totally.
And try really hard.
Yeah.
Like deadlines help with anything. It's like without it, you're kind of like, oh, I can casually make my way to do this. And then
yeah. It was just learning that burnout is there are two extremes. I feel like mm. everyone focuses on
the overwork.
Maybe you have the exam feeling all the time, but if you don't have that exam feeling and you're just coasting,
I think
it's like people might be like, wait, that's a version of burnout. If I have the same job, it's super easy. I'm just doing it. Maybe I don't
it's
have any hobbies.
On autopilot. Yeah.
yeah. And I was like, that's super interesting.
Cause
that's,
yeah,
I
it's
like
really cool
never
perspective
thought of it like that. And I do feel like it's so real. Like even last night I was like, I'm having to force myself to paint. Because, and I feel so much better when I do that. Mm. But if I don't, then I'm like, I guess I'll watch like a horror movie or whatever. Anyways, that's what I learned.
Cool.
Okay, so now we're going to get into our breakup session.
Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Masterclass, which has helped us become more confident in science communication after taking the Masterclass by Neil deGrasse Tyson on scientific thinking and communication. Masterclass makes a meaningful gift this season for you and anyone on your list because both of you can learn from the best to become your best, from leadership to effective communication to cooking. Whether you're watching Masterclass on TV, listening in the audio mode in the app, or on their site, the quality speaks for itself. yourself. There's over 180 classes to pick from, with new classes added every month, like Ron Finley on gardening, which helped me this fall get my garden ready for the coming spring. So this holiday season, give one annual membership and get the other annual membership of Masterclass for free. So give one annual membership and get one for free at masterclass.com/sidenote. Right now, you can get two memberships for the price of one at masterclass.com/sidenote. Again, that's masterclass.com/sidenote. Offer terms apply.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Yet again, here to announce that we might break up in this episode. We don't know yet.
Well, we've been fighting a lot just around the premise of doing this research.
Because, you know, as many of you know, I mean, we are very different in a lot of ways. I know I found that research once that was like actually opposites don't attract. Like, it is true. We are mostly similar when you look at the greater context. But it's funny that we have.
Yeah, like we're both gay.
So if you haven't heard of love languages before, just for context, it was like introduced in 1992 by an author who had released this really popular book.
I think we need to start by saying something. Yeah. Invented by a man. Red flag. Gary Chapman. That's the second I was like, it's like, is love languages real? It's like, oh, it's the 90s and we're talking a man here. So maybe we're going to hold up a red flag. Anyways, continue.
Okay. But the premise around them was that humans, people, we all have a unique love language and that there's basically 5 of them and we all kind of crave different things and sometimes we're not really giving our partners what they want or what they need. And so
he was a marriage counselor, to be fair. Mm-hmm.
He wrote this based off his experience.
Yes.
But not necessarily based off of like research.
And he is Gary Chapman, we're talking about, the father of the 5 love languages, which I think it must have been BuzzFeed because it took off real hard for millennials like 10 years ago or whatever.
But I think not just BuzzFeed. I think this became like, I'm not saying like therapists necessarily pushed it, but I think this has become a very well-known construct. The book sold over 12 million copies. So I think it like just became a phenomenon that then became really pervasive in mainstream culture.
He also runs an institute that does research on relationships and communication styles. And there was this one study I found on him that he was able, like, it was like, I think 100 couples, and he was able to predict with 95% accuracy, like, which ones would stay together over 10 years. Hmm. So I'm just trying to give Gary Chapman, because I did drag him hard off the top, his dues, but like, still, yeah. It's like, I don't know why I'm so, I couldn't believe
well, we're gonna
I thought talk- it was, I thought it would at least be a woman. I don't know why. I didn't, like, I just don't know.
Yeah, it was the 90s. Women weren't allowed to do anything until.
Yeah, the 90s, like that's really messed up. Like, are you kidding?
So the 5 love languages that he created, or not created, but categories that he put them into were acts of service.
Okay, so you're starting with that one. Interesting choice. I'm kidding.
This was just, that's the letter A.
Okay. And so that is when you value when your partner goes out of the way to make life easier. Soup when they're sick. Coffee in the morning. Oh, you woke up. Here's your coffee, hun.
Mm-hmm. Or being like, I filled up your car with gas for you.
Yeah. Oh, guess what? I got your dry cleaning.
Okay.
And so, okay, I'd also want to say that these are, you're supposed to figure out the one that you appreciate the most receiving, not the one you like to give.
Yeah, the concept is, yeah, what is it that you want?
Yes.
What is your love language?
Actually, when people would talk before, I would sometimes go, this is the one I like to do to others.
Oh, I see.
But no, like there's a really strong focus in the research about what it is that you want.
Fair.
Because apparently this information is supposed to help your partner, not help you help your partner. Like,
yeah, but
you know what I mean?
I think the premise behind it is also if you understand your partner's love language,
yes,
then you can like create a stronger relationship by understanding how to connect with them in case it's different than yours.
Yeah. My point is that it's like you're going to be probably good at the one you want to receive.
Right.
Right. Like, so it's like you might be like, oh, I'm so good at this one, but other people might have different ones and yeah, it's one they want to receive. Okay. Continue. Next
is gifts. So literally just straight up like gift giving. Like, I thought of you. Here's some flowers. Or like buying things when something reminds you of someone, you're out traveling and you're like, oh my gosh, this, like, my friend would love this. Like, I'm going to give them a gift.
Yeah. And
this, or like receiving gifts.
Also, he made a strong point, Gary, my friend Gary, that is not material. Like, for the most part, these are about thought. So, like, visual symbols of love. So,
like, just giving someone money is not what it means. It's like, it shows they thought about you and that they care about you when you're, like, they're thinking about you when you're not there.
Yeah. So this is, again, something, is this what you like? Do you like when your partner gives you something
that shows they feel meaningful to you? Next is quality time.
Mm-hmm. So this is like, do you want your partner to be spending time? Does it feel like they want to spend time with you? Or when they spend time with you, is that when you feel the most appreciated? Mm-hmm. And they also made points to say that this would be someone who's like, date night. Like, oh my God. Like, they're like, hey, come here. Why don't we go on a date tonight? Like, if all of a sudden you're like, boing, oing, 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 oing.
Yeah, or if you imagine you're like, go on a hike with your partner or doing an activity you like with your partner, does that bring you a lot of like warm satisfaction?
And then also that it's full presence. So it's like undivided attention. There's a lot of like, you know, the phone's down. Mm-hmm. Eye contact is being made. Because I thought that was a good point. Like, you can go on a hike with someone and truly and just like stomp, and then be like, 2K, sick, and then go home.
Yeah,
and
it's about being together.
Yeah.
Next, words of affirmation. So that's literally just wanting someone to let you know that they appreciate you and to be verbally complimenting you and going out of their way to say things and make you feel loved and comfortable.
What was interesting about this one in a recent study was that it's also, if you like, feel love when your partner comments on your Instagram or texts you or is even showing
like
acknowledgments on social media in public.
That is so funny.
I was like, that is so interesting. It's like,
I guess that's true.
Yeah. It's like you're, and I sometimes like see like couples on Instagram, like one of them will like post like a, this is probably like a gay phenomenon. Obviously it's a straight phenomenon too. Like some like gay guy in a couple will post like some thirsty ass photo of him, like, thong out, like, and it's just like, oh my God, I wonder what his partner thinks. And then the top comment's like, babe, I love your cheeks or whatever. And it's like, oh, that's actually so cute. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, they're that is maybe the most important comment.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas the one that you care the most about, like,
it's
the
like your partner,
you
and it is kind of like, oh, whoa. Whereas in my head, it's like,
I think also like love, there's one more love language, but they can also apply to friendships too, right? Like you're
all of this
love.
Can apply to,
it's not just romantic relationships. So like even seeing your friends comment or give you,
although we're about to get to the one that would be more weird for family.
Oh,
get
that's
into
fair.
It.
Physical touch.
We're not a pro incest pod. I know that you guys think we're such dirty little freaks, but this one's about consent with,
but
partners.
Obviously like, even in your family and friendship, like hugging friends,
you
know, like that kind of stuff. If that makes you feel close to some people are like, I want to hug my friends.
Yeah.
I want to hold their hand. I want to be physically close
to them. And I do love
that. So it can be.
But sex is a part of this for couples.
For relationships. Yeah.
Because like some people might really need like a really intense sex life, whereas other people might give or take. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
And this one is the most obviously, for whatever reason, the study I said it was the most psychologically rooted in potential childhood, where you might have felt the most connected to your family when they kissed and touched you and hugged you and stuff.
So, I mean, today we're going to talk a little bit about like, we've both done the quiz. So there is a quiz you can take. It's honestly like 5 minutes. You can find it online if you look up the love language quiz, and it's evaluating.
Isn't it lovelanguagequiz.com?
Something like, or it's like fivelovelanguage.com. I forget what the website
and
is.
You definitely have to answer quickly and instinctively, because if you think about Mitch just looked at me because he says that I talked over him. Girl, go to the earlier parts of this pod and the amount of times I was like, should I say something? He's talking over me. I was just gonna say, because the questions are so simple that if you wait to think about them, you'll be like, well, obviously I know this one's trying to tell me physical touch. You have to do it, from what I read, be really quick about it.
Okay.
Did you not?
Well, I think deeply, so I wasn't trying to guess what it was trying to do.
Oh, okay.
I was actually just thinking, like, which one actually would feel more meaningful? Because sometimes they're similar. I like both of them, so I'm just like, which one would I actually be sadder without?
Yeah, okay. That's fair. I'm saying, like, so the first question, for example, is, I receive a loving note, text, or email for no special reason from my loved one, or my partner and I hug.
And the question is, which of those is more meaningful?
My point is, like, if you do it slowly, you could be like, well, that's obviously physical touch, and that one's obviously words of affirmation. And so it's just like,
I mean, you can scam any survey. Yeah. Like, if you want to know the real answer, you should think about what they make you feel. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's just do one for you. It's more meaningful to me.
Pause, because when you cut me off, I was talking about something else.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I thought we were going to break up because of our love languages. We're going to break up because of
that.
I quit. I'm kidding.
I even forget what I was going to say now.
It was about the quiz. It was about, you were like, the quiz, you can go online. It's super quick. And it will tell you your love language. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, what we're going to do today is, like, talk about this. Talk about how legit it is, if there's science behind it, outside of the fact that you can just be told. You get told, like, what your love language is at the end.
Yeah.
And now they've updated it so it does give you, like, different percentages of which ones you are, which has always been considered a problem, that, like,
you get
not
one.
Everyone is, like, only communicating in one love language.
Yeah.
Like, you could like all of these in different contexts. So now you kind of get, like, your top percentage is this love language, and then it gives you all your other ones.
Okay, so question one, we're going to do only one question. Is it more meaningful to me when ... I receive a loving note, text, email for no special reason from my loved one, or my partner and I hug?
And what would you say?
I said no.
I said hug.
Because I was like, girl, if you left me a note, I would be like, oh my God.
Yeah, but we text like all day, every day.
Excuse me? Your text is, did you feed the dog? Did you pick up his shit? This is about a, like, really loving note. Like, if you text me a loving note, it would be so warm and fuzzy. I don't get those every day.
Okay.
And so yours is partner and I hug.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So, do we want to say our results, or do we want to talk more about the psychology?
Okay, well, why don't we first say our results, and then we can talk about... Okay, wait. Actually, before these results, I kind of want to talk about some of the limitations, and then we'll actually go into, like, the research after we give our results.
Okay.
So, like I said, it only gives you one. Other limitation is, like, for a long time, this was not actually studied. Like, he came up with this idea in his own practice, but never did any research. And the big question is, like, does it, even if people have love languages, the bigger question is, does it actually impact relationships?
Yeah.
Like, are relationships better off when people know each other's love languages or know their own?
So we'll talk about that research after, because there has been a lot of research since then. Mm-hmm. Also, the other thing about his is that it's extremely antiquated and sexist. So there were, like, when it came to, like, quality, or no, what is it? Like, when you do things for other people? Acts of service. It would be like, the man does the dishes once. Like, there were, like, in his actual book, it was sort of like men were designed to bring home the paycheck. Like, there was an uneven understanding of them. And so later we'll get just into a new seven love languages concepts that are less sexist that a woman made.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, because it was true. It was like a man's act of service would be like doing the dishes once a week or whatever, and then
they're like, that's actually fucked up.
And it's like, no, you both ate the
we
meal.
We shouldn't
so
be like, wow, he knows my love language. He did dishes one time.
Yeah, and the woman's like, oh my God.
Okay. So do you want to, like, I'm so curious if people could guess our love languages. Should we guess each other's top love language? And then
this is why we're breaking up, because I'm like, I have no idea
what mine
I know
is?
Yours won't be gifts, because that's the one thing we both struggle with. And if it is gifts, then slit my throat and I'm done.
I think, honestly, looking at mine, I think they're going to be the same.
I think,
like, the order of them.
No.
That's my guess.
No. I think that they're going to be different, because they can't be the same, because there's no way that we're doing a good job helping each other.
Wait, what do you mean?
Because there's been tension every time it's brought up. I feel like if I knew your love language, I would know what to do. And I feel like I don't know what to do with you. I think your number one is quality time.
Oh, it is.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, you don't think that yours is also quality
No, mine's
time?
Not. Like, quality time's my third lowest. Ah. It's actually really low.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I don't know yours.
Okay, so what do you think mine is?
Well, I would have guessed quality time.
Wow.
Oh my God, you're watching the relationship fall apart in real time.
So you no. don't know my love language. Oh, how long have we been together?
Okay, well, is it words of affirmation?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Whoa. So we did guess each other's.
Yeah, but so, I would have guessed quality time for you.
Okay, so mine is words of affirmation, 40%. Physical touch, 27%.
No way.
I know. I actually am like, we really need to change our relationship. we'll talk about the studies later. Quality time, 20%. Acts of service, 7%. Receiving gifts, 7%.
Okay.
Your turn.
So you got it correct. Quality time, 30%. So mine Whoa. Percentages are lower, so maybe I'm a little more balanced.
Okay.
I'm kidding, I'm kidding. Number two is words of affirmation.
Okay.
Three, acts of service at 20%.
Wow.
Physical touch was only 17% wow. for me, which I was kind of surprised about. Yeah. And then receiving gifts, 7%.
Wow.
So like, okay, I think we're both on the same page. Like, we're not okay. gift givers, and we don't care about gifts.
Actually, it's like, yeah, give me a gift, but it's for you, babe. Like, whenever someone gives me a gift, I'm like, yeah, I hope that, I know that you're like, I know that your love language is giving gifts, so I hope you got a lot out of this.
I thought physical touch would be higher for me.
It's so high for me, Mitch.
Interesting.
We need to touch more. No, we really do. Both of mine.
You know what, though? Something in the questions that changed the results of physical touch for me, which might be part
this
of the
This is
bias.
What I'm saying. Be instinctual. This guy was overthinking it. Continue.
No, I wasn't. But they all say my partner physically holds my hand in public. Is what it said.
I know.
So
that matters
I like,
to me.
Okay, but I'm saying I would choose that if it didn't say in public because I'm a nervous person. I've grown up scared of homophobia and all these things. So I have an aversion to.
If you're straight in Toronto, that's when you're discriminated, okay?
No, hear me out. Just fine. Because it's true or not doesn't mean that I may not have a fear around it. So I wasn't choosing any of those physical touch ones that said in public.
But you can still do it in the movie theater, no one's looking. I think that it matters. I think part of physical touch is being like, this is me. We're here. We're queer. Now give us a light beer.
But I'm a scared
But
person.
I could not get over mine. I thought mine was quality time. Whenever people go, what's your love language? I'm like, quality time. And then like,
so it's end words the conversation. Of affirmation.
It's words of affirmation, 40%. And I was like, that
40,
is true.
It's huge.
And I will say, when people say something nice about me, I'm like, unzip your pants, like you want me to blow you, like I'm just like, it's so crazy, like I now that I know this, I'm like, whoa, because I would never have said it because I'm not good at taking words of, like I'm not someone who goes like grabs them by the shoulder and looks them in the eye and goes, thank you for your compliment.
Well, they say words of affirmation is the hardest one to receive because people have a hard time like processing it.
Yeah,
like,
and I think
in I was reading, like I don't know if it was part of research or just like something I was reading. Therapists will even say in therapy sessions, people immediately squirm away when the therapist compliments them and they want to talk about the things that are wrong. And it's really difficult for people to face the things that are good.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm so uncomfortable with compliments. So I think that's why I'm like, this is so important for me to understand.
Like you need
you
want it.
Because now I need to just tell people that because it's like, yeah, I want it so bad. And then physical touch too. Like I need physical touch. And I think I thought I didn't, but I do. And that's you really need quality time is your number one.
Yeah. Well,
that is so funny because I thought that was mine and like you never want quality time. We are so bad. Like, how did I not know that?
Well, again, we're going to talk about how legit these are. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's get into that. Okay. Let's get into that because there's pros and there's cons.
We're bad. We've been together 17 years, first of all.
But there was a 2022 study on 100 heterosexual couples. And they
heterosexual.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I said it like that. And when they talked about love languages and understood each other's, not that they had the same ones, but when they understood each other's and through.
Can you restart? Sorry, I kind of spaced out because, you know, I'm burnt out right now. Starting out with the study, you said it was from when or what were you saying?
2022.
Okay, because I have one from 2023 as well, and I didn't know if we were going to share the same study. That's why I got panicked about.
I'm like, okay, so now it's a competition.
No.
Now mine's old.
No, it's just like if we got the same study, then I want to like share delivering the info because then I'm going to have nothing else to say.
It's different. Okay. 100 hetero couples. Survey.
Mine's 83.
Survey based.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so essentially they were talking about, through the survey, they were trying to figure out if the people understood the other person's love language and if they acted on knowing the other person's love language.
Okay.
So it wasn't about having the same love language right. or whatever. It was about whether they essentially could like have empathy for the other person by understanding their love language, even when it was different from theirs.
Yeah.
And like they based it on other research that did find that there was a boost to relationship and personal well-being and satisfaction when they were aware of the other person's and acted on it. And this study found the same thing, that when they were able to understand, they would actually have quote unquote better relationships, again, just through surveys. But then one aspect of this study was with 89 of the participants, they got them to complete the love language questionnaire. And then they like made them listen to people, like imaginary scripts going over different scenarios, and when it was the love language that they preferred,
like
they
for had, themselves.
Yeah, they increased skin conductance, heart rate, and pulse rate. So they actually had a change physiologically when people were talking. Like they were more aroused when people were talking about the one that they cared about.
That makes sense.
So these are pro studies, because there are some con studies, but it's like, it's not a bad thing to understand and do this quiz and talk to your couple, your relationship and your couple about it, because the couples who did had, in this small study, a better relationship.
Oh, cool. Yeah, and I think like even when a construct like this is not necessarily the truth, like, and we've talked about personality tests, or we were saying we might do an episode on that, it's like sometimes just being able to bounce your thoughts around that can teach you a lot about yourself, right? So just even if like love languages aren't written in stone, it's like when you think about it, it actually at least makes you self-reflect.
As long as you're not being like, oh no, I'm this, so that's all I care about.
Exactly.
It's like, I do like gifts.
And
I
people
guess.
often say like personality tests can pigeonhole what you think your potential is.
Yeah.
When you could be something totally
like when
different.
You go, oh, I actually can't do that because
so I'm sure
gift giving, like we are so bad at giving gifts because I think we've gone, oh, our love language isn't gift giving. It's like, no, if I didn't know that, I might be like, oh, I really should put more effort into gift giving because it's blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and you can improve anything.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you feel like it's something you want to get better at, then you can put energy.
I think just like the pigeonholing of personality tests and this could be bad. If you just go, that's who I am and that's the way
and
it
I
is.
I can't change. And
yeah, because I mean, did a 25 question survey.
I'm not saying anyone, some people maybe can't change, but like, yeah, a survey is not going to tell you more about you than you can figure out just by like thinking about yourself.
Yeah. Okay, do your 2023 study, Mr.
Okay,
Current.
Came out October 2023.
But okay, it's fresh.
It's pretty similar to your premise in terms of they survey. Were looking at like whether the love language claim is accurate and knowing your partner's love language, like whether or not that's useful to a relationship, which is kind of what you said, right?
Yeah.
Like that's what they were investigating.
Yeah.
Not just like whether or not love languages are real, but if knowing them impacts your ability to improve
exactly
your relationship.
This one. Too.
So it sounds like the exact same. Let me see. So, I mean, same. It was really similar. I'm like, I'm trying to see if there's any different results. You don't care if there's 83 couples. They weren't all hetero. I'll let you know.
Really?
This, case,
this one was all hetero and
majority.
Monog.
Yeah.
Hetero majority. And monog.
And in this one, they took the survey, but they also had like all the supplementary stuff that they would make them do, including asking them questions, taking those same questions and then asking them to put it from the perspective of how they behave towards their partner.
Oh, I see. Not what do you want, but what do you
think? Yeah, so like when we looked at that one question that was like, would you rather a hug or another message? They'd say, now, what do you think your partner would want in this situation? So like they're actively thinking about their partner's love languages. Because they're trying to track, do you understand your partner's love language?
Okay, so yours is quality time. I have to remember that. So I need to get off my phone. Okay, fair.
Yeah.
But I do feel like this is going to help. This is going to help our relationship.
So,
it will help.
Here are my results. Hopefully they're somewhat more like adding to yours. First, people overestimated what their partners desired. So, like, a lot of people, like, were not, like, really, like, I don't know what that means. The more somebody preferred a specific language, the more people thought their partners preferred the same
one. Yeah, yeah.
So, like, even the way I thought you wanted quality time, obviously that's mine. So, I, like,
oh
see it
God.
More in you probably the moments when you want quality time, I'm like, see, he loves quality time.
Yeah.
So like that happened. But people were generally accurate about their partner's preferences.
So we were accurate about each other, but for whatever reason, we had to think about it and it wasn't our instinct.
And it was just like, still, I would say our top two, we kind of knew.
No, we knew each other's top. It just, yeah. We just said.
But I didn't know your top. Only you guessed mine. And because you said it wasn't yours, that helped me.
Oh, you would have said quality time. I thought it was until I did the study.
Okay. Here's the thing. People who did acts of service did understand what their partners wanted, but were the most likely to associate their partner with wanting that. And if you, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to read that sentence.
Yeah, that didn't make sense.
Okay, sorry. I actually meant to talk about words of affirmation. Okay. So almost every other category.
Which is
category,
the one I want.
Almost every other category. Okay. If you prefer gifts,
yeah,
you were able to see that your partner, you would see, oh, my partner gives me a lot of gifts. Like, you would see them doing that in
every
other category.
Yeah, because you'd be like, it's Christmas. I got to go.
Yeah, or like people who prefer gifts see their partner as giving them lots of gifts. That's okay. Like a very nice thing.
Oh, wait, I'm
people,
the one where I...
People who do want acts of service see that their partners are doing acts of service. But people who prefer words of
That's
affirmation...
Me. Don't see it.
You perceive your partner as being less affirming.
Yeah, you don't affirm me. And neither does my family, and neither do my friends.
So that was the one deviation.
Wait, I have the one shitty one?
It's not shitty. It's just...
Girl, there's another word for what your research has. It says it's the shitty one.
So part of the discussion around why this might be in there, like there should be more research into this because like some things
could
be chicken or
the
egg.
People who have this are psychopaths. I'm like,
no,
what?
They were saying like their hypotheses, obviously, and this is not studied, is like gift giving is very transactional and easy to understand. Quality time is a little more easy to like organize quality time. But going back to that therapy thing, it's like words of affirmation are kind of a lot harder and kind of awkward. Right?
Yeah, like, I just want you to tell me all the time how amazing I am. Like all the time. Like
you are amazing. You are.
See, that feels good.
Yeah, you
I'm
are an amazing
getting
person.
Hard.
No, I love you. I think you're an amazing human being.
Yeah, I know. I can count on my hands like the times that you've said that and I can picture when it was said.
Oh my God.
Now I'm turning red.
See, you're deflecting it.
I know, but that's fine. That's part of it.
You gotta be able to take it. So you actually
I am taking it.
So maybe it's harder to take it and that's why you feel like it happens less. In the way that this is saying people who need words.
And I have like a psychotic disease that my therapist is always like, I'm really good at making it so that people don't say nice things to me because I'm really good at making sure everyone thinks that I'm so fine.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm the type of person people, including my family, yeah, mom and dad, if you're listening, like, like they don't want to compliment me because I think that they think that I'm like going to get like conceited because I do have like the best life ever.
So it sounds like you deflect compliments.
I deflect compliments, but that's what I want the most.
Okay, so then maybe you ought to think about like, letting them land.
I am.
It says,
I'm just
literally
panicking.
Predicting your partner's love language is associated with greater relationship satisfaction, except if words of affirmation is your quality. So there's something about words of affirmation, and you should think about that, and I should think about that because that's still number two for me.
Yeah.
About like not feeling
Why
like your partner gives it to. And anyone listening or watching, like
even Ernie, my dog, is like, I pet you so much.
He can't speak.
I know, but it's like you actually need to sort of pet me back a little bit. You know what I mean? Now I'm mad at my dog.
I think about that sometimes with Ernie. I'm like, I give you
so
world's
much.
Best massages every day.
Ernie, we give you so much. And sometimes I think, what are you giving me? Yes, you sometimes when I'm sad will come, but sometimes you won't. And you know what? Wow. I'm looking at him right now and it's like, I feel really bad that we're like talking about him. He doesn't know, but he knows.
He doesn't know. Okay, last
Cons.
Last thing. So weirdly, what this study found overall was understanding your partner's language, like
quality
me
time.
Understanding yours, is actually in the relationship going to give me more satisfaction and not you, which is very weird. You'd think like me understanding you would bring you satisfaction. What they realized is like actually understanding your partners brings you satisfaction.
That makes sense because you get to be like, Slay, I did it.
And you feel like you understand them probably on a deeper level, but it's not bringing more satisfaction to your
Quality
partner.
Quality time. So I have to play Zelda with you.
Okay, yeah, I'm getting hard.
Okay, so the cons of this all.
Okay, what are the cons?
It's literally like, LOL, love is nuanced, was one of the like discussions of the paper said. It's like, that's so, like
that to break
is
it down
so,
so
it doesn't capture simply. Everyone. Some people have felt alienated because, like, maybe like they're like, am I a psychopath because I don't like any of these? And it's like, you're not. And
I'm sure it's
of people,
in flux.
What?
Like in different times of your life, you might want different things.
Yes. But also, a lot of people really forget that it's not about, like, that doing this, they start to go, let's use me as an example. I love affirmation. And then they start knowing that. So then they start affirming their partner. Right. And then realizing that, like, their partner's like, I don't actually care about that. But you're right. Like, but I'm affirming you. And it's like, no, that's what you want.
Yeah.
And so people sometimes forget how this functions. Uh-huh. And they become obsessed with what theirs is. And they forget the whole idea of this is to know what the people around you are.
So you can
change your actions. Yeah. Which I was like, that is so funny. Because I think everyone probably did this quiz and BuzzFeeded it up and got so hyper-focused on their own and forgot that that actually isn't going to psychologically help a situation.
Yeah, I guess like...
Except
maybe,
unless you're telling people what you want.
And maybe it could help you understand if people have like natural proclivities to act certain ways, maybe it would help you find a partner if you're looking that like naturally fulfills those desires. You know what I mean? Not that that's necessarily a good thing. I don't know.
But that was another issue. Like they were talking about a Hinge study. So also there was a funny Hinge study that found men, the highest likelihood was that it was physical touch, and women, the highest likelihood was that it was words of affirmation. They were saying South Asian.
So they're calling us women.
Yeah, we're gay. We're half women or whatever. I'm just kidding. South Asian cultures, when it came to words of affirmation, it was less about being told them and more about finding out that your partner said something
like
about you
to somebody else.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's
and
cool.
That they like, and then another one was that public displays of affection are extremely Western. So there'll be like, there's issues with that.
Okay. There you go, Mr. Whitey. Okay, that's why I have trouble with public displays of affection.
I'm white as an uncooked chicken.
Yeah, but you were yelling at me.
I know. And then also, what were you? Oh, the Hinge stuff. They were saying that like it can create issues because I think it's a Hinge.
Oh, like a category?
Category. So sometimes people
like matches
will...
matches you with people or are you...
Yeah, people will assume they want the same. Mm. And then they were saying the con is that actually you maybe don't want the same because it's all about adaptation and not relying and not becoming codependent and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then this is a woman researcher who was very, like, I guess, disturbed, obviously, by the, like, Chapman's sexist
inner sexism,
book,
yeah.
That, like, you know, that husbands have, like, done something if they like wash the dishes. And so her 7 love languages are this: activity, when a partner takes interest in activity or makes an effort to enjoy their hobbies. So it's like your love language is your partner being like, I know that you love to paint,
like, let's
or
do this
I know
together,
that you love
or...
to hike, let's go on a hike.
Okay,
like, okay, interesting. These ones are all very related to the ones we already talked about. Appreciation, similar to like the compliments, mm-hmm. Words of affirmation, feeling loved, emotional, feel as though they connect at the toughest times. So like, it's just sort of like when things are bad, feeling like your partner is like connecting with you. Financial. So this is like the part that's like supposed to help because they're like, even in relationships now, a lot of women are making more money than the men. So does it matter to you if your partner is generous with their money towards you? Mm. So there might be a lot of men out there who are like, I actually am so attracted to my like CEO girlfriend who's paying for my dinners and who's like valuing me financially. That is turning me on. And that is like a love language. And I was like, that is like interesting to include it.
Yeah. Because especially in like hetero relationships, like that can be a hang up for a lot of people. If they're not making the most money.
Yeah.
And they expect it
and
to
it's
be
like
the
talk about it rather than in the Chapman book, which is the assumption that the man's making the money. And then there's all this sexist jargon. It's like, no, if you have a financial love language and you actually appreciate getting money spent on you, whether you're a guy, a girl, or anything in between, my NB money hungry people out there, that's a really important thing to know. Like, I like would, if I knew someone liked having money spent on them, I'd be like, let's go to dinner, I'll pay. Like, you know what I mean? It makes it so much less like, well, who's paying? Mm-hmm. If you know that's what that, but then if they're like, I actually don't give a shit, like I'm not, and then you're like, me neither, then you just split it halfway and there's no, It's like, what do you actually want? There's what society says. What do you actually want? I thought that was a good one. Then intellectual. And I was like, this is so weird. It's not on the five. Mm-hmm. Loved when you feel like your intelligence is valued, when you have engaging conversations, thoughtful discussions. And I was like, why is that not one? Because I'm like, yeah, that is
to me, that's part of quality time.
But it's like how I imagine. But that is so like
it is separate.
Yeah, you can have quality time and not have a deep discussion.
Yeah, totally.
I remember I had a pre-drink recently, and like someone just like went, like, you know when you can just tell someone's willing to go deep.
Yeah.
And I literally was like tunnel visioned in on them. I was like, I love you. Yeah, like, or it's just like, I hate like
shallow combos.
Well, I don't hate shallow combos because they're really important for like specific scenarios and can be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're baristing it up. But if I'm at like a pre-drink and we're with the gays, it's fun to do the pop culture and like whatever thing. But at a certain point when it starts to shift to more, I get really like, I don't need to go out. Like I get really I want
to
do this.
Fun to talk about something.
I notice that there's a trigger in my head that like, and I can tell other people are like, oh God, can we go back to talking about Kim Petras and then go out, which I also respect, but there's something that's almost like if in those moments the whole night shifted and it became just about that, I would be happy and I know other people wouldn't. So I'm like, I think I have the intellectual one. Physical, feeling adored and valued through physical touch. Practical, when their partners chip in, do chores, offer to help.
I would like that one too.
Well, that kind of reminds me of the, isn't that acts of service?
I guess, yeah.
To me, financial and intellectual felt like the two additions in this setting.
Yeah, but they could be considered part of other ones, I think.
Okay.
Like gift giving could be considered financial. But it's nice to parse them out because to me, acts of service could include like chores.
Yeah.
But it feels like that is such a very specific part of relationships. Yeah. Even when you live with roommates and stuff, it's practical. Like chores are such like, who's doing the dishes?
Yeah.
Who's cleaning the kitchen? Like those things matter and like can cause a lot of stress amongst groups of people.
Yeah. This seven is good because financial is really interesting because people are like, it's like you need to talk about that if you're in a couple.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand how is this money affecting them? Is this your love language or is this just a practicality?
And
if it's your love language, we need to parse that out.
If we ever end ASAP Science, I think like something we have never had to deal with because we've run a business together for the same time and make the exact same amount of money. We've never had to deal with like if one person makes more or less. Like maybe in the beginning of our relationship. Yeah, but we were so young. Like,
but even the first few years,
we didn't have money then.
Yeah, but you're right. Like I feel like I became a teacher, so I made a like whatever $45,000 a year, and then you became whatever and made $45,000. Like I feel like we made the same amount when we started our careers.
Yeah, too. It was even enough. And I just mean like eventually once we ran our own business, we like pay ourselves the same salary and all that.
But I do
a lot of
kinda,
people have to manage like
I kinda like
not that. Only if different people have different incomes, but then if one person who's going to be the person who gets the time off when you have a kid or all these kinds of things. Like people, of course it's ideal if we both can, but some people have to make those decisions.
But it would be so like hot to like pay for you and it matters because now it's like it's
like
so,
I'll get it and it's although, like it doesn't matter.
I do feel like so many couples like kind of just
it can build tension.
Yeah no actually you're right,
it totally and it would be challenging. Like if you're making more than double your partner, of course you're probably the one who's like I want to supply more because you love each other, but there is that fear of maybe like, but is this fair? Like, obviously, if you love someone and you picture with them forever, there's a point where you go, like, my money is your money.
Yeah.
Like, this is just the circumstance of life and we're pooling our money together in whatever way. But in the early days, I don't know. I could see that being a challenge if you're like, I make so much more or so much less. How do we, like, do this in a way that feels fair and balanced and not doesn't bring stress into this, like, or resentment around, like, oh my gosh, we want to buy a house together, but you can afford something so much more than I can.
Yeah.
So are you willing to pay more than me or do we need to need to use my budget to
really
decide and get a smaller house or a smaller rent or whatever?
Okay, wow. They need to include financial for sure in this.
But yeah, no, I'm like glad in some ways we haven't gone through that, but that would probably also grow you so much emotionally in your relationship because you have
to get like for the chores and stuff. Like obviously if you were paying way more of the bills, I probably would be like, I'll happily clean the house.
Maybe.
Whereas now I'm like, I ain't cleaning the house, not like you did. Like it's so like there's such an even playing field that we're just like constantly
everything has to
like,
be even.
Clocking. Yeah. Everything feels so even that it has to stay even. I also like can live in such a mess.
Yeah.
Like, I just can, and I'm just like a gay guy, like, with none of the gay attributes.
As a 35-year-old gay, I've finally come to realize and learned, like, what I did when I had an edible last night was literally organize our cellar room. And I was like, this is what I want to do with my time.
That's amazing.
No, I know. I actually did feel good about it, but then I was just like, it's kind of so... I was like, I don't want to get high to do anything else. I want to get high and like clean and go through my house room by room and sort it out.
Okay, well, I think I have more of an issue because what I wanted to do was get high and paint, which is great, yeah. But then also grind the wall.
What do you mean,
like,
grind the wall?
Put on like a really sexy Bad Bunny song and like actually put my hands on the wall and like like grind and practice like... literally how my ass moves. Dance. Like I have been doing the same thing since I was a kid, which is just on my spare time, I just want to dance.
You need to like find a way to like bring that into your life. Like, why don't you take dance classes? Or is that tainted if you're like taking it too seriously? Or
I don't know. I actually,
like, how could you incorporate dance in your life? That would
well,
be,
like, I always like, you know, get mad at my parents, as we all do. But I think maybe I do it more than others, where I'm like, I clearly didn't want to do piano. Why the hell did you not put me in dance? Like, every time I sat in front of a piano, I was like, I can't think of anything I would want to do less. But there was such a weird, like, you do piano thing. And it's like, imagine that was dance. I'd be behind Madonna right now, like on tour. But there's also something about like, I have taken dance classes. No, I actually loved them. They're so fun. But it's really eye opening when you're like, oh my God, this is so, like, hard. Yeah. But I actually really enjoy it. No, I love a challenge. No, I need to take dance classes.
Considering you're good at like making yourself paint and doing art, I'm surprised you haven't put yourself more if you love dance so much. But I will say, like, just because you love dance doesn't mean you want it in a structured environment.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it could just be like feeling the moment and moving your body.
I weirdly can satisfy it a lot because by going out, it's your relation,
your love language is dance.
Oh yeah, well,
add that to the set.
Well, no, I have physical touch on it, but yeah, if the physical touch involves grinding, oh my God, we've had many therapy sessions where the therapist is like, Mitch, you have to grind, Greg. And I'm so into grinding. I'm also really good at grinding. It was like my first sexual experiences were grinding in high school with girls. It's like, this was hot. I can always get aroused if it involves like a good song, like Usher playing. Mm-hmm. And a waist winding on me, we're good.
Note taken.
Yeah, okay.
Well, wow. Hopefully we survived.
Yeah.
We're still alive. There were some moments of tension.
Yeah.
But I mean, hey, you're around for 17 years, there's going to be some tension, you know?
That's for sure.
And I think, no, I don't have any sage advice.
No, me neither. But do the test. This is fun.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And I think this will be, like, now that we've thought about it more, I'm sure our next therapy session will reference this. It. And it's like a nice starting place to be able to have conversations from. But thanks for listening.
Absolute slay. See you soon.
And hope you know your love language now and can talk to your partner about it.
Both.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.